and 4 for the Indianola City Council. Now let's head live to the Trinity United Presbyterian Church in Indianola. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIA.
And welcome to a KNIA Special Edition News Magazine, the 2021 Indianola City Council candidates for Wards 2 and Wards 4. And now to our host, Kathy Ferris.
I would like you to welcome you to our third out of four forums for this month of October. A big thank you to the crowd that has come. I think it is so important to be an informed voter, and this is the way to do it. And also, a big thank you to the people willing to run for office. I think that is such an important thing to do, not one I've ever done. And so I really appreciate them coming too. The forums are put on by the American Association of University Women, AAUW, Simpson's John C. Culver Public Policy Center, the Indianola Independent Advocate, and KNIA. I would like to introduce first the candidates who are running for the second ward. And they are Ron Dalby and Bob Kling. And for the fourth row, the fourth ward, Christine Beach and Ron McKelvey. Thank you all for doing this.
I'm Amy Duncan, and with two races, and we will go in alphabetical order, switching off who answers each question first between the seats that they're running for and the alphabetical order of their names. So if you get confused, me too. So, but we will start with introductions. We'll have 2 minutes for each person to give an introduction, and then each question they will also have 2 minutes to respond. For introductions, we will start with our Ward 4 candidates, with Christina Beach, followed by Rod McKelvey, then Ron Dalby, and Bob Kling. So we'll get started.
So first, I want to start off by saying thank you to all of you guys for showing up tonight. It was already said once, but informed voters, we need them. I'm Christina Beach. I'm running for Ward 4. I apologize. My voice may cut in and out. I have lived in this community my entire life. I've raised my kids here. I have my grandkids being raised here. I work here. This community is a huge part of who I am. Sorry. I just got over a really bad sickness, so I apologize. My lungs aren't fully capacitated yet. Historically, Ward 4 has been the least involved ward when it comes to voting and actively seeking out improvements. And that's something that I really want to fight for and get more of the people in our ward involved. And I hope to do that by being someone that they can actually come to, somebody who will listen and fight for them. Thank you guys for taking the time to be here. It's really important that we see some change.
Hi, my name is Rod McKelvey. I grew up in Ottumwa, Iowa, graduated from OHS in 1987, went on to the University of Northern Iowa, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Environmental Planning. My wife and I, at the time we were dating, we moved to Johnston, Iowa, Des Moines area, and decided to raise a family. When we did decide to do that, we started looking at different areas to raise our kids. We looked at Grimes, Ankeny, all the surrounding cities, and we chose Indianola. So in 2005, we moved to Indianola. Since then, we've been in, both of our kids graduated from here. Since then, we've been involved in school activities, ballooning. I'm a soil and water conservation assistant commissioner for Warren County. And I've also been in sales for the past 26 years at different locations. Started out at Zook's Harley-Davidson as a sales manager when we first moved here. I've been with Freightliner Des Moines, an energy manager for Agriland FS. For a short stint, we owned our own business, so we've experienced a lot of different aspects of business. In sales, I've been involved with selling trucks to cities, municipalities, state. I've dealt with, when I was at Agriland, I dealt with fire marshal, local fire chiefs, city managers, other folks involved with putting petroleum-based products and dispensaries in different communities. So I've had an experience with city council in on the other side of it. Thank you. And I would appreciate your vote.
I'm Bob Klang. I'm the oldest. Probably have to have a timeline here. So I look around here, and chances are I probably taught your kids in school. And a few people here, I think I may have taught your grandkids when I was subbing. I grew up in Shenandoah. That's where I was born and raised, southwest Iowa. I went to UNI, got my BA in art education and teaching with an emphasis in drawing and art history. That's where I met my wife, Susie. We have one son, and we have one grandson. My first job, I taught at Mormon Trail Schools for 12 years. And during that time, I became also a consultant for the Department of Ed. And I was part of the Multicultural Non-Sexist Education Equity Committee, and then was a consultant, and I did MCNS workshops all around the state. There were equity workshops. I went back to school and received my MA degree in painting from UNI, came to Indianola and was the high school art teacher and head of the art department and taught for 22 years. During this time, UNI had a nationwide search for their new head of the art department at Price Laboratory School, and I was the person selected. And it was a tough week, and I declined, and I'm so glad that I did. I was the Indianola Art Teacher of the Year, the Walmart Teacher of the Year, and one of the five finalists in the state for Iowa Teacher of the Year. I wrote the first grant for Indianola's first public work of art through the Iowa Arts Council in Indianola Schools. Been a board member of Bravo Greater Des Moines for 10 years, and I'm currently an adjunct at Simpson College, and I have been for 16 years, and I'm a college supervisor for student teachers at Graceland University for student teachers that are in the metro area. I'm a practicing artist, and I love this community. I'm here to serve you, and this is my way of giving back. Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Ron Dalby. I grew up in the large metropolitan city of Liberty Center, Iowa, about 20 minutes south of here. Graduated Southeast Warren High School in 1993, then attended Graceland College and graduated in 1997 with a degree in business administration. I met my wife, Michelle, during college. As a blind date. She didn't want a relationship. I didn't want a relationship, so we got married. So it seemed to work out okay. Michelle grew up here. I grew up just south of here, so this is kind of where we decided to plant our roots. I've worked in the mortgage servicing industry for the past 24 years. I've also co-owned a small business home improvement business for the past 17 years. My wife is self-employed. She owns a salon here in town, and she's been self-employed with that business for the past 23 years. So as you can imagine, owning this lawn, she hears a lot about what people are happy and unhappy about with what's going on in the community, which then means I get to hear a lot about what's going on in the community. So I have two children. They attended Victory Christian Academy here in town from preschool up until seventh grade, and then they attended the middle school, and currently my daughter is a senior and my son is a sophomore in Enola High School. I've been a resident of Indianola for the past 23 years. It's been an amazing community. It's been an amazing place to raise my family in. The community as a whole has always had a great homey vibe, as only a small community really can. I've been blessed to be a part of it. As they say, you know, putting your name out there for public office sometimes is not easy. But it's a blessing to be a part of this republic that we live in and be able to have an opportunity to run for office. Thank you.
Don't go very far because you're first on the next question. This next question will have Ron, then Bob, then Christina, and then Rod. So I have to enunciate with all of the names. Please imagine that each of you have been elected to city council, and then fast forward a few years until you're leaving the council. What is the one thing you want people to say about you and your service on city council?
Oh, as I mentioned before, I have a passion for small business. I want small business to thrive in this community. I've heard and seen in the past where the city sometimes brings up roadblocks and makes it tough for small businesses to start up, just red tape, roadblocks. What I would like to see is me being able to work with the city, remove some of these stumbling blocks so that new small businesses are able to start up, they're able to thrive, and we can we can have some more economic development within our community. Thank you.
When I first ran for city council, I went around and I talked to people, and I talked to several developers. And the developers then told me that they didn't care about anything with Indianola because every time they try and do something, they were told no. And I talked to our city manager and I said, we have to make some changes because I do not want Indianola anymore to be the city of no. And what has happened? We've had new people there. And our city has done a tremendous job to bring developers in and to work with businesses. Our current community development director, when he first got here, has had a breakfast for all of the developers in the Des Moines metro area. Our staff has talked to those people, and they have come down to Indianola. And it's amazing the difference that's happened. Not too long ago, I went and talked to one of the developers that was working in one of the houses they were building. And he told me that Indianola is a great place. The city has been fantastic to work with, and Indianola is the new hotspot. You know, a number of years ago, I can remember when, back in the 90s, the city decided they were going to get rid of the tax abatement program. And when they did, our housing starts went to zero. Now, if you're not building houses, you're staying stagnant. If you're not developing, you're staying stagnant. If we want businesses to be in town, we need rooftops. And by having those rooftops, it's made a big difference. We've had over $300 million in the last 4 years of new valuation that has spread our tax base or spread our taxes among a lot more people. We have worked with, we've had an example, for example, a person wanted to be able to sell LP and was told he couldn't. And we went out, straightened things out, and we've made sure that this is the new Indianola. We are no longer going to be the city of no. Thank you.
Rod, then me. Okay. Sorry. Right.
Well, I think that what I want people to say about me when I leave is that I listened, I communicated, I broke down barriers, and I got things done while keeping and meeting budgets and keeping our taxes in check. I want people to say that I grew the community in a responsible way.
So I would like to be remembered as someone who advocated for our community as a whole and for Ward 4. I want to be remembered as someone who kept their word. I'd also like to be able to say that I fought for more affordable housing and economic development, bringing more jobs to our community, actual careers, not just your day-to-day work at McDonald's jobs.
It's a lot to juggle up here tonight. The next question will go, we'll start with Bob, and then Ron, and then Christina, and then Rod. Okay, everybody got it? All right. The city of Indianola appoints but does not control the Indianola Municipal Utility Board. There have recently been some contentious meetings between the IMU board and city council. Should anything change between IMU and the council, and if so, what?
Yes, I know it was a little contentious at our last meeting. The IMU board is a city-owned utility, and I get calls and complaints about things, and I tell people that the city council has no control over IMU. The only thing we can do, we have a mayor who appoints the board. The board is responsible for their general manager. And the only control the city council has is either to vote yes or no on the appointments. And the problem we're having now, I understand that IMU wants to be its own independent organization, but it is still responsible and has to be responsible and accountable to the city. IMU has decided that they want to have their own human relations person. When we've had shared people doing those jobs, they've also decided they want to have their own IT person. And when you start hiring your own people, when we're doing shared work before, you have to be accountable for how much that is going to cost. And we're trying to just question that and find out what's going on. We've had, for example, they have to report all sorts of financial statements to the city, so the city can even do its own. Can have its audit done, and we've had a lot of trouble getting things from them in the amount of time necessary. We're trying to get to the answers and find out what the problem is. It's a communication problem, I understand, but the city has to be able to get this information in a timely manner. I've read all the emails going back and forth between the staff. We have a great staff in the city. I'm sure their staff is great too, but they have to be accountable to the city for this. And that's what we're trying to do, is see if we can find out what the problem is. Thank you.
Certainly don't want to be rude here, but anyone who saw that meeting last Monday, that was ugly. Just plain ugly. I mean, you're squabbling between city departments here, and we should all be on the same team. Do I think the city should have full ownership over IMU? I don't think so. From what I've heard, you know, the IMU and the city shared IT. The city fired the IT guy and never told IMU. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think there needs to be much better communication between the two groups. I don't know. I just saw that rift on that Monday night, and I was taken back by the exchange by both groups. I think we could all sit down together, bring cooler heads to the table, and work out the disagreements. Thank you.
So I have to agree with you on that. That last meeting was appalling. The back and forth was ridiculous. Should have never happened that way. I personally think IMU should be separated. I think the lack of communication between the two right now, there's no way for it to continue moving forward this way. When you have a city public meeting and you have your city council members and your heads of the IMU arguing back and forth like children to me, you're not going to accomplish anything. And if you can't accomplish anything, it...
Well, a lot of this is new to me. I'm not a politician. Trying to get up to par on all this stuff has been difficult at best. But I do believe that we're all in this together. And I believe that communication is key. We should meet a few times a year, air out dirty laundry, hear each other out, set some timelines, and stick to them as far as turn in the necessary paperwork and what have you, budgets that Bob had mentioned. Thank you.
Again, don't go very far. You're up first. This next question will be Rod, followed by Christina, Bob, and Ron. What can the city do to better care for our environment and mitigate the effects of climate change?
Well, if I'm anything, I'm a conservationist. That's why I volunteer for the Warren County Soil and Water Conservation District. I think that we can utilize more green space, build more green space, look into and research solar options. Take advantage of IMU's, they go around and take assessments of your home and how well it's insulated and what have you. I think we should take advantage of that. There's a lot of things we can do different in the as far as the environment goes. Thank you. But I can definitely help with that through my connections with the Soil and Water Conservation District.
So one of the companies that I manage, we have solar panels on the roofs. It's a very large storage facility. And those solar panels, to me, are something that the city should be looking into more of. We could also offer ride share if we had a community parking area for people to ride share to Des Moines, more greenhouse space. Ron?
Well, I could sit here and say, let's go green, but that's totally not me. Wind power, solar power, I feel are extremely costly forms of energy. And the systems generated, the systems that are installed to gather and harness these forms of energy are not a forever system. Both solar and wind systems take a large amount of energy just to produce those systems. So as far as going green, I mean, it's taken an enormous amount of energy to create these green energies. Both forms of energy are heavily subsidized. That's coming from all of you out here and on the radio. I mean, that's taxpayers' dollars. You're paying for that. I would like to see some more studies and some numbers to see if these forms of energy truly are cost-effective for the taxpayers of Indianola. As far as energy audits, I mean, those are a great way to, as Rod said, a great way to go about maybe trying to reduce some of the carbon footprint, you know, insulate your houses. I know Mid-America a while ago gave some big rebates for updating your HVAC systems. You know, you're going from a 25-year-old system to a new 16-SEER air conditioner. That's a heck of an energy saving. So I would say I am not a big proponent of green energy yet. I would definitely want to see more information on it. But I think energy audits would be a good way to go moving forward. Thank you.
Well, I met several times with Indianola's Sustainability Committee, and I've been working very hard, and I was very impressed. In meeting, we gave suggestions, and one of the things, at one point, the energy audits were stopped, and something we thought should be brought back. When we moved to Indianola, or at least moved from one house to the other, I can't remember, but we had an energy audit, and it was wonderful. And we realized that we were able to insulate our attic at a relatively very low cost because of the rebates that were out there. We just recently had to buy a new furnace and air conditioner, and you know what that's like. But we were able to get a great rebate through the IMU and through the gas company. I believe that something that we need to look at, and we have, in fact, it was something we discussed at a city council meeting, discussing the solar, as they were redoing some of the audits or some of the ordinances, there are some things that kind of prohibited solar, and several of us on the council said, no, I think we need to make sure that it is possible to have solar, and that was changed. Now, I will say, as Indianola being the balloon capital of the world, I'm not sure about wind turbines, whether that would go over, but I think solar is something we do need to look at. It may be subsidized, but there's nothing that's more subsidized than the gasoline industry, the petrol industry. So I think solar is one of the things we can do. As far as transportation, I met with DART, and I would like to see them coming down to Indianola. It is very cost prohibitive, the amount of money that they want, and unfortunately that's not going to happen at this time. I would like to see if we could get them down here so we could have transportation to Des Moines from Indianola. Thank you.
Okay, our next question. The Ward 4 candidates will go first with Christina and Rod, followed by the Ward 2 candidates with Bob and Ron. During the last forum for at-large council candidates, both participants commented on the deep divide in the community. What would you personally do to try to heal this rift?
I think communication is key. Getting more input from our people in the community. Communication has to be the start. Right now, it seems like there is an extreme lack of communication going on between the citizens, council, city managers. People are complaining about not getting responses. Council stating that they are responding. To me, I personally think that there is a large lack of communication going on between the two, and that has to be the first thing to change, or nothing is going to get better between the two.
Well, I'm sure everybody up here is going to say that communication is the most important thing. I would agree with that. I also think that listening is very important. That's a very important key to communication. I'm somebody who will sit back and listen. I'm not a big talker. I like to take everything in and learn from the people, learn from the people around me, and then communicate it back to the people of my ward 4. And that's what I plan to do if I'm elected. Thank you.
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is get rid of Facebook. I think that would help quite a bit. And it's amazing because not only miscommunication, but the things that are not true that I see posted on Facebook. And I just finally quit the Indianola community page after I was called for basically saying that I think the square eventually will be beautiful. I've been called everything but a horrible man. I'm a bad man. I'm ugly. I'm mean. I'm a crook and everything else. I mean, I don't have time for that. Because none of these people have ever called and talked to me or asked my opinion on anything. I have always been honest. I've always been open. I've always been transparent. And I figure if the keyboard warriors, they're going to be out there, I want people to call and talk to me personally. I'll meet with you. And that's what we have to do for communication. because some of the things that are out there are absolutely not true. And some people thrive, they don't, you know, some people don't care about the truth, and some people like to argue. I've always been honest. I don't have secret meetings. I've always been truthful, and that's the reputation that I've always been proud of. So please, if you have questions at any time, I have people call me all the time with questions about things, and I'm very honest and open, and I will tell them. And I will tell them, if I don't have the answer, I'll find the answer. I mean, it's got to be there. We'll work together if there's no answer, but please call and ask. That's the only way we're going to get things done, is to be able to communicate. And if you once again, if you can't talk to me in person, email, but I will be glad to meet with anybody. Thank you.
So certainly communication is key here. I was doing a bit of digging into the Indianola Policy and Procedures Manual. I got my mom's investigative skills a little bit. She's a thirst for knowledge, and sometimes it rubs off on me. But page 14 of the Indianola Policy and Procedures Manuals, and here's what it reads. When contacted by a constituent regarding any city concern, complaint, elected official shall contact the city manager so the appropriate staff can be involved in the process. If a personal visit is required by the constituent, no elected official shall make the visit without a staff person from the appropriate department. And I don't know about you, but what that's saying is my neighbor just can't walk across the street and voice their concern to me. If I get elected, I have a neighbor who's, I guarantee, coming across the street and talking to me every time. But according to this policy and procedure manual, they are not allowed to. So what I think would need to happen is we need to make some changes to these policy and procedure manuals. Thank you.
Ron, you have the first response to the next question. We're going to start with Ward 2, which is Ron, and then Bob, and then Ward 4, Rod, and then Christina. There is a segment of people in Indianola who seem to feel shut out of community decision-making. Would you try to address these people, and if so, how would you go about it?
Well, it kind of just ties right in line with what I just read on the policy procedure there about not being able to talk to your city councilman or woman. You know, we have to keep those lines of communication open. That's what I think is probably the most important part here is being able to talk without the scrutiny of breaking any policies here. Thank you.
Well, people I talk to people with complaints all the time, but I always tell the city manager, and the reason why is the city manager is the person who is responsible for the employees. No single council member has the authority to direct any staff to do anything. We are not experts on streets. We are not experts on mechanics. We are not experts on sewers. I've learned quite a bit about sewers here lately. And the purpose of that is so the city manager and the staff will know what's going on. This will prevent somebody who's a councilman from talking to somebody and promising all sorts of things will happen and we'll get it fixed and everything else. Well, the thing is, there are other things involved that city council people may not understand or know. So the purpose is not to prevent people from talking to anybody. It's actually to encourage more communication, that we need to tell the staff and talk with our city manager so they know what's going on. Because they will get a call and somebody will say, well, this council person said they could fix this. You know, well, we don't have all the answers. That's really the reason for that being in there. Thank you.
Well, it's my understanding that our city council meetings are an open forum, so obviously that's the first place to start. If you want to voice your opinion, you need to come and visit the city council at those meetings. I've been guilty of not going myself. I've tried to catch up on a few of them online, but so I'm really not one to talk. That's obviously something I would need to change. We need to talk with people. We need to have meet and greets. If we have large projects going on within the city, I think it'd be a good idea to review the progress of those. Maybe put something out there, let people know that we're going to meet up on the square and talk about the changes that we've made up there. If there are major changes to a project, we've got to be transparent and make sure people understand what those changes are. Thank you.
So again, communication is key. Our job, if we're on council, is to advocate for our community. And Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those are things that our younger generations are using to communicate. So we have to adapt. We can't just say it's the old way or no way. We have to make that younger generation feel comfortable coming forward, coming to us, talking to us about the issues that they see.
This is a follow-up on a question that was in the candidate questionnaires that we asked earlier. Actually, do you want to do your pause for a station identification?
You are listening to a special edition news magazine, Wards 2 and 4 candidate forum for Indianola City Council. Back to our moderator, Amy Duncan.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, so this is following up on a question that was asked in the candidate questionnaires. We asked about providing more affordable housing, and a couple of people talked about there are more programs and more ways that Indianola could be providing more affordable housing. So what steps would each of you take to try to encourage the amount of affordable housing, and how would you define affordable housing in Indianola? We'll start with Bob, and followed by Ron, so the Ward 2 candidates, I'll get it straight, and then Christina and Rod from Ward 4.
As part of the City Council, I'm on the Metro Advisory Council, and we had a presentation from the Polk County Housing Authority. And in the next 20 years, the biggest shortage and problems we are going to have in the Metro is going to be affordable housing and workplace housing. And we all know, especially since the pandemic, what has happened with the cost of construction. And right now, it's still very high, and we're not sure when that's going to come down. And that has made affordable housing even that much more difficult. We have had in Indianola, we've had several proposals for affordable housing. We've okayed some of them. We have actually denied some of the affordable housing. And the reason we denied them was because the density was way too intense. There were too many people that they were going to put in such a confined small area and no green space. We have to work with the developers, and that's what we try and do. Developers are not going to come down here and make affordable housing unless they make money also. That's just the way it works. And we also have the problem here in Indianola is that we have bad soils, and that makes it much more difficult when you're building. That's why a lot of houses are built without basements, because the soils are too bad, and it's too expensive to bring in other soil in its place. It's important that we work with the developers. We, of course, want the developers to make money, but we have to provide housing that is safe for not only the families that are living there, but is safe for the people that are living around those houses. Okay, thank you.
Affordable housing certainly seems to be a hot topic these days. Discussing housing, it's just a huge topic, right? So I think the City Council would need to partner with the schools. For instance, with this Cading project, right? If those units are built, that housing, those housing units are going to overrun the Emerson School. So I think what we need to do is we need to look for an area that makes the most sense with the infrastructure that's already built within our community. We need to work with the education system to make sure that where those communities are placed, we have proper education as far as the school capacities go, and geographically acceptable for people of existing developments where these housing developments will go into. This will need to be a long and just lengthy conversation. It's nothing that's going to be solved overnight, that's for sure. This conversation will need to include city officials of all of our departments here, as well as the town residents, as it's going to have a lasting impact on this community for decades to come. Thank you.
So Indianola has a median household income of $60,000, and we have a 13% poverty rate. People cannot afford the new homes that are coming in. Your average cost for a brand new home in one of the new home developments is $190,000 to $250,000. A person with a $60,000 income can't afford one of those homes. We have to do something to offer more affordable housing for those people that fall below that line. It's not going to happen overnight. There's no easy fix. But city management, city council, we should be researching options that are out there for the lower income housing as well, not just the brand new homes.
Well, this is a tough question, affordable housing, and it's going to require more thought than what I've put into it for tonight. I do agree with one of the things Ron said about proper geographic placement of, you know, especially projects like the Cading project. I do think we need to work with developers, like Bob mentioned, and also visit with realtors and find out what the needs really are. We moved here in 2005, and we're able to take advantage of some tax abatements that were offered on our home, and that was part of the decision process that helped us decide to come to Indianola, and obviously we're paying our way now, so that worked for us. Thank you.
You are first on the next question. So this will be Ward 4 going first with Rod and Christina, and then Ward 2 with Ron and Bob. And do keep in mind, when you're voting, you can only vote in Ward 4 or Ward 2, so you can rest during the other candidates. So the question, the city is investigating the potential need for a new library and public administration building. Would you support this effort, and how do you think the city should pay for such a project?
That's a tough one. I personally, at this point in time, want to discuss this with others, but I'd like to see everything that we have going on now get finished up or somewhat close to finished up before we dive into another large project such as administration building or library. I do feel like we need both, but we've got to be responsible. I know most people don't want their taxes to increase, so that's something we've got to take a long, strong look at before we just jump into it. And again, that's only an opinion at this time. And as far as I'm concerned, opinions are the lowest form of knowledge, so I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
I personally don't support the idea of building a new City Hall library. I think right now our city is far enough in debt. We have enough going on. I don't see how we could possibly financially afford to do so. We have buildings that we could utilize and make repairs to. There, to me, the repairs are here as to our building, you know, we're looking at another $30 million, $20 million. To me, it's just not fiscally responsible.
So really what we're talking about here is the debt load, right? So over the span of the past two fiscal year calendars, so the end of the fiscal year 2020 to the end of fiscal year 2022, the city of Indianola's debt load has increased from $9.56 million to $36.33 million. And then this is a graph here on the city website. That's a 280% increase of debt over two fiscal financial years. So the question, am I in favor of building a new library and a new city hall? I would say absolutely not at this time. I would not want to build these new buildings and strap the taxpayers with additional debt. With the library, I understand there are some repairs that possibly need to be made, maybe some renovations. I totally get that. So why don't we just make those repairs? You know, it's just like living in a house. You just don't live in a house without making repairs. I think we need to do a better job as a city of maintaining our properties versus just building, tearing down and building. Just my own personal thought. I would also like to see some library usage studies. I've got an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I can't tell you the last time they were at the library. That doesn't mean that everyone doesn't go to the library, but what I'm saying is I think library usage in general has decreased over the last decade. So before we pour tens of millions of dollars into a new building, I would certainly want to see some studies on that. Thank you.
Well, first of all, this is not a city council decision. This is a public decision. City doesn't have the money to do this. The community may, and it's a decision the community is going to have to make, not the city council. We have already done a facility study, and this is not just about the library and City Hall. City Hall doesn't take that much space. The reason for the library and City Hall is because our terrible conditions at the fire department and the police station. And that fire department should have been taken care of 20 years ago. Indianola, unfortunately, everybody wants everything. Everybody wants amenities. Unfortunately, Indianolans do not always want to pay for those things, and we're constantly kicking the can down the road. Now, we have the facility studies now. We have to start thinking and talking about what we're going to do. We're not going to do this tomorrow, but it has to be soon because it is very overcrowded. And if you got a chance, go to the Norwalk Fire Station and take a look at that, and you'll be ashamed of what we are providing our fire department here. This is just one of the things that the study showed that is a possibility. But this is what the citizens have to make a decision to do. Unfortunately, the things you have to understand, the funding for the wastewater treatment plant and the funding for the cityscape, that's already secured. So it's not like we're going to increase all sorts of money because of that. That funding has already been secured. Indianolans are going to have to pay at some point. We have a 37-year-old library with crumbling brick. We can't find parts we have to have parts made for the boiler system at the fire station, and we could pour money into that, but it's not going to make it any bigger for those people to do their work. We want to make sure when you call and want an ambulance that there's no problem trying to get that. Okay, thank you.
Next question will be to Ward 4 first, with Christina, then Rod, and then Bob and Ron. Can you please provide an example of how you have successfully collaborated with others who didn't agree with your stance on an issue?
I think this is something, I mean, we've all done every day. We go to work, we deal with our kids. I have three teenagers. We disagree all the time. I would have to say, every day at work, I deal with customers who don't always agree with our rate changes. So I understand, things have to change to better our city, and that costs money. Sorry, lost my train of thought on that one. Can you rephrase the question for me? So with work, I may not agree with something that's put into a lease, and the person that's leasing from us wants it in that lease and won't sign unless we put it in that lease. We have to come to an agreement and meet somewhere in the middle. If not, we might not get to do business with each other. I guess that would be...
Well, I worked for 6 years with a company, Agriland FS, and I was on the leadership staff. There was constant disagreement. I mean, it was good disagreement. We, in our leadership staff, we'd get together in a big round circle and we'd discuss things and argue a little bit. And I'd listen to other sides of the story. They'd listen to my side of the story. And there's quite a few times we disagreed. But the bottom line is we listened to one another and we'd get through it and we'd find middle ground and move forward. And that's what I'd like to do with the position with City Council. Thank you.
Well, latest disagreement happened today when I asked my wife where my cane was, and she thought it was one place, and thought it was someplace else, and we're constantly looking, and usually she's right. As far as somebody else that I'm working with, it's really interesting because somebody had mentioned they think politics is getting into city council, and I had to chuckle at that because on our city council, we have a broad range of people who are of absolute different political ideologies. I sit next to a person who is as totally opposite in political thought as I am. And that individual said to one of his friends, how are you going to be able to work with that person? And he told him exactly what I've said. It's not about politics. It's about doing what we think is best for the city. And politics should never enter into it. And I see that happening. But We study the issues, and it just so happens this council has a very shared view of the vision for Indianola. When we have a meeting, we have 350 to 400 page packets that we read. We read them individually. If I have questions, I may call the city manager. I may call a council member because I don't understand something. What does this mean? We don't discuss our votes. I don't ask anybody how they're going to vote. They don't ask me how I'm going to vote. We vote independently. Sure, a lot of times it's us, but we've studied the issue and we have a shared vision for what the city should be. Other than that, I can't think of a single time where I've had a big, big argument with anybody on the council. Okay, thank you.
Well, I certainly don't know if Bob was right or his wife was right, but I can confirm that he did find it. He does have his cane, so everything's good there. So I work in the mortgage servicing industry, like I said. If you don't know anything about this mortgage servicing industry, just know that the government can change regulations on it seems like a daily basis. So a lot of times what I'm involved with is I'm dealing with business units. I'm dealing with project managers and dealing with IT staff. So a lot of the times what the managers want, the IT people cannot perform, and so it's kind of a balancing act. So we spend a lot of time on conference calls. For some reason, we haven't done any Zoom yet. Anyway, a lot of conference calls, right? And basically what it is, it's a lot of communication. It's breaking down those barriers, and it's just handling one problem at a time, step by step. Kind of a Dr. Leo Marvin baby steps type of approach to it. So, thank you.
Okay, this question, we have, we'll start with Ron and then Bob from Ward 2, and then Rod and Christina from Ward 4. Over the last 2 months, and this is following up on the previous question, over the last 2 months, the City Council has voted 67 times, all of them unanimous. Does that concern you? And what, if anything, would you do different?
Concerning, I'm not going to lie. I have not been in politics my whole life. Had interest at the federal level, but never really the local level. And when asked to run, I said, "Wow, gosh, I got to get up to speed here a little bit." So I've been cramming in, watching lots and lots of YouTube videos on Indianola Council meetings. Stephanie Erickson gave me that great idea, so wonderful props to her. Oh gosh, I also lost my train of thought. What was the? I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think what needs to happen is when I watch a lot of these YouTube videos and these policies that are going into a vote, I don't really see anyone asking any tough questions. I hear name calling and I hear eyes. What I think needs to happen is I think there needs to be more critical thought put into some of these decision makings. I think more questions need to be asked before the votes are cast. Thank you.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't know how many times it was, but many times it's the first or second or third consideration of an ordinance. The ordinance has already been discussed, and there's nothing new to that. What am I to say about that? I'm a person who likes to be prepared. I have always done my work, and all the years I was teaching, I always told the students, "You be there and you be prepared, because I will always be prepared." And that's why the way I approach this. When I read the council, I read the packet and everything, I come to a conclusion, close to a conclusion how I'm going to vote in case there's more discussion or anything else that comes in or comes up. But if I know how I'm going to vote on something, and I've done my research and I've done and I've read my packet, if I have questions, I will ask them, and I do. And there aren't probably very many questions. I know in the past it may have been different. I know there was a lot of arguing, council in the past. We don't argue. We discuss. We don't know how the other people are going to vote. And the idea that somebody suggested, that we had secret meetings is really kind of insulting. So I don't know what I can say. Like I said, I think every council member that's up there takes this very seriously and does their homework. What more can you ask than somebody doing their job? Thank you.
Well, the question was, does it concern me? And I, just going along with what Bob said, I mean, he's there. I'm not. It does not really concern me. I feel like they have done their homework. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're listening to the public. That's all behind us now. We're moving forward. I'm a different person. I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm gonna dig into all the facts and lay them out there for myself, so I have a good understanding, and then bring it to the people, see what they have to say about it, go back and place my vote. What do I want to do different? I want to be there to be involved in it. Thank you.
Does it concern me? Yes, simply because it was 67 votes and everybody agreed every single time. So that does raise the question, are the serious questions really being asked? How much research is actually being done? I can't say what I would do differently, because I may do nothing differently because I'm not on council. I don't know all the answers right now.
Right.
And since we're getting close to 8 o'clock, this is going to be our final question. Bob will go first, followed by Ron, Christina, followed by Rod. At most city council meetings, the only people there are council members, staff, and maybe 2 to 6 community members, and a lot of times me. There's a limited audience here tonight as well, and watching online. How would you encourage Indianola citizens to be more engaged with the city and its activities?
Well, we used to have a lot more, and then the pandemic hit, and you know what that did to everything, and now we have people slowly coming back. The one question I had, and I put to when we met with IMU, is why are you guys not able yet to show this on your television stations, on the cable station? And they said it was going to finances, and they said it is planned for 2023. I would like to see that done a lot sooner than what it is. 2023 is way off. People would like to know now what's happening. It is televised, I think, on YouTube. There's no reason why people should not be able to come to a council meeting, and people should feel open to a council meeting. Anybody can respond at a council meeting. We've heard the complaint that people have to fill out a form. I don't think there's anything wrong with filling out a form, putting your name and address, and putting down what's the topic you want to talk about. What takes 2 minutes? What that does, as a teacher, I think that's great. That's the kind of thing I would require of students, because I want people to stop for a second and think about what it is you're going to say. Wouldn't you like to be able to at least have a general idea? You know, we have people that come and complain. That's okay. That's their prerogative. A lot of people come and want to know the answers. We will do everything we can to give the answers. All we ask is that you fill out a simple form. Somebody said, well, you only get 3 minutes to talk. Is there something wrong with that? We only get 2 minutes up here. So 3 minutes is, if you can't say what you want to say in 3 minutes, then maybe you're saying too much. Okay? Thank you.
Sometimes perception can play a factor here. You know, the thought of having to fill out a form maybe is scary to some. What I think is, you know, I think it limits what 5 people can speak at the beginning of a city council meeting. You know, I think we sometimes put barriers and restrictions. And maybe that limits some of the communication between the residents of Indianola and the council. I certainly haven't been involved on council before, so I really can't speak to some of that. Like I said, I'm just coming up to speed myself. Putting your name out here, it's a little bit scary, but I read something that I thought was great. It says, may never be said of me that I was silent in the face of fear, and in do so, pass the battle on to my children. So that's kind of why I'm here. I'm kind of running, trying to show an example to not only my family, but my kids, is that if you believe in something, you know, stick your neck out there. Thank you.
So I think we need to get the younger people involved. And to do that, we have to meet them on their social media platforms. You know, not only do YouTube videos, maybe do Facebook Live, do things to get them engaged. I agree, we need to get a city council videos posted on the TV stations as well through IMU. I guess just getting the word out there. A lot of people, I myself was one of them. I never aspired to run. I'm not great at public speaking, as you've all seen tonight. But until about 2 years ago, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what was going on. And then the courthouse happened. And then I started seeing more and more things that concerned me. And I'm part, I like to say I'm part of that younger generation. Under 40, But a lot of the things that I saw on the Indianola Community Facebook page. A lot of the stuff came from the city. The city was posting more on there. That's where I started to get more involved, started to go look and research things. So I think that's something that we definitely need to do more of in the future.
How would I encourage more citizens to be engaged? Probably better market the meeting, make it more approachable. I think a lot of people are intimidated by going to a city council meeting. We need to figure out a way to get past that. Agree with Bob, we need to get it televised, Zoom for others, and quite frankly, invite your neighbors. I mean, I invited a couple of my neighbors and they showed up. It's kind of cool, and I feel like when I was at Agerland, that's one of the things that we did, and the company I'm with now, we put stuff out there on social media. I know a lot of people don't like that, but we put stuff out there on social media and ask people to come to our events. And I think that would help. Thank you.
So I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank the candidates especially. Also, appreciation to the AAUW for co-sponsoring this and KNIA, sorry, Andrew, for getting this out to the folks who can't be here. And it's also on Facebook Live tonight on the Indianola Independent Advocate webpage or Facebook page. So please, thank you for being here. Don't forget to vote sometime between now and November 2nd. And have a great evening.
You've been listening to a special edition KNIA News Magazine Ward 2 and Ward 4 Indianola City Council candidates. A recording of the forum will be found on KNIAKRLS.com, and the upcoming Indianola School Board Forum can also be heard live on 94.3 KNIA.